Microsoft is raising the price of Game Pass, and making sense of what is included in each is way more confusing than it needs to be. Plus, on July 11th, the Nintendo Switch made history. Tonight is July 14th, 2024, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akira Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Is it nap time? No, it is not nap time. It is time for episode 899 of this podcast. It's all creeping up on me. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a not nap time edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on this Sunday night, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We do tape this show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. So come join us, interact with us directly, and I'll be trying to read the intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. Now, I understand this is a podcast. We have not always been on Twitch, but we have done now 899 of these. So I guess next week is a nice round number. And coincidentally, not ironic, Alanis Morissette, coincidentally, next week would also be our 19th birthday of the show, because July 24th, 2005 is the was when episode 1 was aired on Shoutcast Internet Radio. So this is actually going to be the next week will be episode 900 and the closest show to our 19th birthday. And Breakman says, fun fact, the show has been longer than Bobby has been alive. That's right. I am. But no, see, here's the thing. You need to learn math, Breakman. 19 is still less than 29. It's, you know, I started when I was 10, obviously, like when I was a 10-year-old. I was a wee little baby doing the show. I'm like, welcome to the Bobby Blackwolf Show. Welcome to episode 1. You know, because I was a little baby, obviously. But 19 is less than 29. So yes, the math thing is hard. So what am I going to be doing next week? I am going to be at a convention for most of the weekend, and then I will be back and talking about the convention. Next week I am going to be at the Southern Fried Gaming Expo here in Atlanta. This does not mean that the show is not going to happen next Sunday night, because they kick us all out at 4 o'clock and it's like 20 miles away from my house, so I'll be back in time. So, but yes, we will be at the Southern Fried Gaming Expo, which is a huge pinball and arcade convention, along with other, along with tabletop gaming and wrestling and panels and vendors and everything. It's my favorite gaming convention of the year. Dragon Con is a different type of convention, and it's my favorite that type of convention. But Southern Fried Gaming Expo takes place here in Atlanta. I forget what the prices are, but memberships or tickets are still available. Has the vintage computer festival, so you can play old games. They've got a bunch of esports tournaments going on. They've got some panels, but they've got board games. You can check out board games. You can play D&D with other people, miniatures, or just a whole lot of pinball and arcade, and you can watch some wrestling. And Breakman says, taking a moment of silence for arcades. You don't understand. Things like this have revitalized arcades. There are literally like 6 arcades in the Atlanta area. Some of them are charge you by the hour. Some of them charge you by play. But arcades have actually started making a comeback in the past couple of years. It's actually kind of amazing. So don't pour one out too much for arcades, because they're coming back. There's a lot of people that poured one out for arcades and then decided to open their own arcades, and they're thriving. So it is July 19th through 21st at the Renaissance Waverly Hotel in Cobb Galleria. That is across the street, with the street being an interstate, from the Atlanta Braves Stadium, Truist Park. And it is a home weekend for the Atlanta Braves. So parking is going to be kind of tricky. So go to gameatl.com for information on where to park, because there's going to be Braves games all weekend, which also limits some of your food options at night, because the Battery, which is the area around the Braves Stadium, get it? Batting, baseball, anything. Yeah. Pod culture already checked out. But that's going to be filled with sports people. So, Breakman says, OMG, the CRT monitors. Yes, because there's retro games, and the best way to play retro games are on CRT monitors. Same with arcades. Dark Tia says, sounds like a fun time. I love the video recaps every year. Yes, I'll have my trusty camcorder that everybody's like, why are you using a camcorder here in 2024 when you have a phone that probably takes better video? And it's because I'm older than 29, and so I like having the camcorder. And Sean322 says, second place Braves, go Phillies. Moderators, please help. No, just kidding. Don't. Moderators, don't. No. No. Frankly, I do hope, if we're going to go into baseball, I do hope that the Phillies win the division and the pennant, and the Braves, so the Braves can win the World Series as a wild card team, because that's actually how it works. Anyway, I am also going to be speaking on two panels, I'm actually speaking on a panel. And I'm hosting an event, because the second one's not exactly a panel. So I'm going to be on a panel on Friday night at 8:30 p.m. Called Unleash Your Inner Retro Streamer. And this is going to run by Twitch partner Ash Said Hi. And it's going to be have myself and Eternal Enigma Speedrunner and Cartridge Blowers, who is another Twitch affiliate streamer. And also one of the hosts at Games Done Quick in the past. So we're going to be talking about how to stream retro games, what you need, because there's a little bit more hardware involved to stream retro games, and what you need to do. And Ash Said Hi even has a whole deck. So it's like actually like a presentation slide deck and everything. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be answering questions about that. And then I don't have a graphic for this, but on Saturday night at 7 p.m., An Eternal Enigma is going to be running Silent Hill 1 for the PlayStation 1, doing a speedrun showcase. It's about a 55-minute run, and we have an hour. So we're going to be speedrunning setup, because there's a panel before us, and they're probably going to run long, because that's what happened last year. So we're going to have like 10 minutes to set up like a monitor, a PlayStation TV. He's got a packed PlayStation TV that has HDMI out, so that makes it a little bit easier. But my laptop and the capture card and all this stuff. So we're going to have like 15 minutes to set that up, and then we're going to be basically going right in to running Silent Hill 1 for the PlayStation 1. So that's going to be going on 7 o'clock p.m. on Saturday night as well. I will be filming that. I also filmed last year's and never put it up. So I will be filming this year's. And if it's good, if you know, things work out time wise, I will be posting that up on our feed. Ash has said that she will be filming that retro streamer panel on her own, because the convention does not film these fan panels, this stuff. They only film the big guest panels and put them on their YouTubes. But Ash is going to be filming on her own the Inner Retro Streamer. And when I hear about where that is and when that goes up, I will link it to all of you. S. Jerry Matt says, NASCAR pit change level speed for that setup. Yeah, and actually, we did it last year. So last year, we did Silent Hill 3, I want to say. I can't remember. We did a different Silent Hill, but it was on the Xbox One, is what he played it on. And the panel before us just kept going. And it was like a 10 p.m. panel, and the panel before us was supposed to end at 9:30. And at 9:35 and 9:40, they were still taking questions from the audience, because nobody was in there to tell them your time is up. And so we came in, they're like, oh, do you need, well, you're at 10. And we're like, yeah, we got all this to set up. And they saw like I had a monitor and we had an Xbox and a, you know, my laptop and everything. We were trying to do as much as we could outside the room so we could just bring it in. And we actually did. We got everything set up right in time for 10 o'clock. So that might happen again. And then because of when we are, there's another panel at 8:30, and they're going to want us to clear out. So we're going to also do the tear down very, very quickly because that panel that's at 8:30 probably doesn't want us hanging around. So hopefully things won't go bad off the rails because we do have a hard cutoff after an hour. And so if the speed run takes longer than an hour, we are probably going to just have to cut it off, which is kind of sad. I had asked for like an hour and a half block and they gave us an hour, but that's okay. At least we're there and doing that. Also, I wanted to mention that I was on Dragon Con, was doing some stuff. And last week I actually announced at the end of the show that Rob Roberts and I got promoted to main stage moderators at Dragon Con. So we're actually going to be moderating panels with the television actors in the movies up in the ballrooms. And also we are available to any of the other tracks that need moderators for their guests. So, but also, I appeared on the Dragon Con Digital Media Show, which was conversations between cons, and it's essentially I forget actually what they call it, but that's the tagline. It's the conversation they have in between the conventions, and I appeared on one earlier this week on Wednesday night. And the reason I didn't tell you about it beforehand is because I forgot that I was doing it until I got tagged in a social media post the night before saying, yes, tomorrow night we're going to have Bobby Blackwolf and all these other people talk. And I'm like, oh yeah, I've got that going on. So I appeared on Be Awesome Together is the name of the actual show. And the tagline, the topic was about going it alone. It was about all these solo podcasters. So we were all solo podcasters, and talking about how we handle being a solo podcaster and be successful at being a solo podcaster. So I appeared on that. That is on it's on their YouTube and their Facebook and their Twitch page. So they multi-stream to everything because they're allowed to now. And so I will link to that as well in the show notes here, and I should probably also link it in our Discord. I have not put that in the Discord. VogNetwork.com/Discord is our Discord server if you are listening on the podcast feed and want to interact with us and see this stuff throughout the week. Also, we have a conventions channel in there. I will probably be posting pictures from the Southern Fried Gaming Expo this week. So thank you so much to the Digital Media Track for having me on with that, for Tyra for putting it together, MC Williams being the MC, TV's Travis and Clint Hall for being co-panelists with me as well. So that is on the Dragon Con Digital Media Tracks YouTube channel, and once again I will link that in our Discord so we can, and I've also just put it in the chat room for the people here, but don't leave here to go watch it. I promise it's good stuff, but this stuff's better. I have no shame. Anyway, let's talk about some of the news that happened this week in gaming. I'm going to be very specific about that. News in gaming. So Microsoft got in the news earlier because they've had to make some changes. And I say had to because somebody up high said, you need to make more money. And so the people at Xbox said, well, crap. How do we do this and piss off gamers the least? Which is not how do we do this and not piss off gamers. They said, how do we piss them off the least? And so this is what they came up with. And it's updating how Game Pass works, how much it costs, and what's around. The Verge reports that Microsoft is planning to hike its Game Pass Ultimate pricing again in September, alongside launching a new standard subscription that doesn't include day one access to first-party Xbox games. So Xbox Game Pass Ultimate subscribers warning a price increase to $19.99 a month. That starts on September 12th, a $3 increase over the current $16.99 a month pricing. PC Game Pass subscribers will also see a price hike this September, with service moving up from $9.99 to $11.99 per month and maintaining access to day one titles. If you're outside the U.S., there's a whole like sheet and list that what the worldwide price stuff is. But I'm based in the U.S., and a lot of the audience, not all of them, many of the audience are based in the U.S., so that's why I'm kind of concentrating on the U.S. numbers. The price increases come just before Microsoft plans to add Call of Duty Black Ops 6 and other big first-party Xbox games to its Game Pass service later this year. The price increase will largely affect Ultimate subscribers, who make up the vast majority of Game Pass subscribers, and come just over a year of the last Game Pass price hikes, which raised rates by $1 to $2 per month. So Microsoft is also going to offer a new option. This is where it gets fun and confusing. Of Xbox Game Pass Standard, which does not have the day one titles, and they will be $14.99 a month for new users to the service. The existing Xbox Game Pass for console subscription will continue for existing subscribers, but new Game Pass subscribers won't be able to select the console option starting July 10th, which is earlier this week, and then until the new Game Pass Standard subscription is available. Microsoft says Xbox Game Pass Standard will be available in the upcoming months. The new standard option will also include online console multiplayer access, which is something that Xbox Game Pass for console lacked previously. Existing Xbox Game Pass for console subscribers will only be able to stack for up to 13 months from September 18th, but this won't impact existing stacks. So E3VL says a decade of advertising day one on Game Pass to only now add an asterisk. Yes, that this is the asterisk. Basically, they are saying Game Pass, this version does not get the day one. The Ultimate gets the day one. Now, Kotaku has reported that Xbox has posted an FAQ on its official support page that explains all the changes, and it's a mess. So Xbox Game Pass Ultimate in the United States will go from $17 a month to $20 a month. This price change starts for new subscribers on July 10th and will kick in for pre-existing members this September. Xbox Game Pass for console, a cheaper alternative to Ultimate that didn't include PC games or EA Play, is going away. This plan will be replaced for new users in the coming months with Game Pass Standard. This plan will cost $15 a month in the U.S. Users currently subscribed to pay Game Pass for console will be able to stay on the plan with no changes. Xbox confirmed that the Game Pass Standard will not include new games on day one, which has been standard with Game Pass since its creation. Once again, E3VL pointed out they kept saying day one on Game Pass. No. E3VL asked, did they say when day one games are going to standard Game Pass? They have not yet. So we will probably have to wait until for 6 months and see if the day one games come 6 months later. They just say a later... Yeah, they say Microsoft does say that some day one Game Pass releases will eventually be made available to Game Pass Standard subscribers at a later date. So what they have, all they have said is that some of them will show up at a later date. Starting on September 12th, 2024, Xbox will no longer let people stack Game Pass for console prepaid cards for more than 13 months. People who have already bought beyond this limit will not be affected. I believe you can stack for 3 years. But they aren't going to let that for a service that's going away. PC Game Pass is getting a price increase from $10 to $12. PC subscribers will still get day one games, according to Windows Central. So PC Game Pass will still get the day one games. Xbox Game Pass Core, which we haven't mentioned yet, which is the old Xbox Live Gold, will also see its annual price jump from $60 to $75. However, the monthly price of $10 will not change. Xbox Game Pass Core. This is the Xbox Live Gold, and it's gone up in price. And I know at least one person who does not listen to this show, but I interact with on social media, is very upset at this price change because they do not want to rent their games. They will buy the games they want to play. And this is a price jump for multiplayer games because in order to play online multiplayer on Xbox, you need Game Pass Core. All the other Game Pass tiers include Game Pass Core. And Game Pass Core, what they've added to it is, I think, like 25 games. So you, instead of the full Game Pass library, you get 25 games of the Game Pass library, and that is in Game Pass Core. E3VL asks, did they rebrand Xbox to Game Pass? No, it is actually Xbox Game Pass is the name. Xbox is the platform. Game Pass is the service. That's their marketing mumbo-jumbo speak, but that's what it is. Xbox is the platform. Game Pass is the service. Now, I should mention that PlayStation Plus Essential, which is the Sony tier, the minimum tier that you can have in order to play online on PlayStation, is $80 a year. So even though Game Pass Core raised its price $15, they're still cheaper than PlayStation. More expensive than the Nintendo Switch, but still cheaper than PlayStation. And a lot of people will be like, well, why don't they just take away the 25 free games and give me a tier that just has online multiplayer? And what I'm going to guess is that the 25 free games that are part of Xbox Game Pass Core don't actually raise the price all that much. And what they're doing is the unfortunate reality is that even though you probably don't see it in your salary, wherever you work, the cost of getting competent tech engineers to pay their salaries has gone up. So even though I know you're probably your salary hasn't gone up, and you're going to be like, oh, that's not true. It actually is true in the tech sector for highly skilled individuals. So they don't maintain the Xbox Game Pass servers for free. Would you work for free? No, I don't think you would. Neither do the people that maintain those servers, that make sure that the security updates are there, because people are trying to hack into those servers all the time. And so you need highly competent people to make sure that the data is safe and that no new holes are found, or if a hole is found, it's patched pretty quickly. And competency costs money. So in order to pay all those professionals, they probably needed to raise the price of the subscription to pay them. But they probably knew, oh, they're going to revolt if we don't add anything to when we raise it $15. So they added all those games in order to make it seem like you're getting more, which you are getting more. But if those 25 games weren't there, it probably still would be $75 a year instead of $60 a year to account for the increase in salaries for the highly skilled individuals. SSJ100 Matt said they also won't let you stack your Game Pass subs using pre-purchase cards beyond a year come September. So if you want to stack beyond a year and at the cheaper rate, buy some of those cards. Buying at Costco and other big box stores have a smaller discount on those cards. Yes, I use Costco. It's like $5 off for each card, but it works well. That's what I use. And Breakman says, I had imagined those 25 games are all first party. I don't know what are they right now, because Game Pass Core exists today. So they don't have a list, like they list games, but I'm not positive if these are the games on the servers or if these are just, hey, these are online games that are on there. So I'm not positive of this list right now. I bet if I had Game Pass Core, I'd be able to tell you. But I don't have Game Pass Core, and they're not going to reveal everything on their website. So at least as of 10 months ago, I found an answer on Reddit, of all places. 10 months ago, there on Xbox Game Pass Core was like Among Us, Descenders, Dishonored 2, Doom Eternal, Fable Anniversary, Fallout 4, Fallout 76, Forza Horizon 4, Gears 5, Grounded, Halo 5 Guardians, Halo Wars 2, Hellblade, Senua's with Sacrifice, Human Fall Flat, Inside, Ori and the Will of Wisps, Psychonauts 2, State of Decay 2, and the Elder Scrolls Online Tamriel Unlimited. So that's what they had 10 months ago. So it's those kind of games, which I believe those are all Xbox published, except for maybe Among Us. I believe the rest of them are all Xbox Game Studios titles. The Breakman says, like I said, I'm not mad about a price hike. Quite frankly, I'm surprised it's taken so long. So, yeah, it was bound to happen. I do know one person who did say, and like I said, I'm like one single person, so it's totally a great sample size, right? Who basically said, I'm not giving them any more of my money. If they wanted my money, they would have kept it at $60. And I'm just going to go play on PC. And I'm like, you're still in the Xbox ecosystem. They're totally cool with that. Because if you don't want to pay $75 a year for multiplayer on your console, get a PC and you can play the exact same games on PC without paying a yearly fee. The Breakman says, and to me, Game Pass has always seemed cheap, especially if you compare it to something like HBO Max. It really depends on how you consume games, because I say that Game Pass Ultimate is still the best deal in gaming. I still say that. But if you are not the type of person to sample a lot of games, if you are not the type of person that cared that demos went away, then I can see Game Pass not being for you, because why would you pay what is it, like $150 a year? I forget what it is per year. For Ultimate, if you're only going to play two games on the service, you could just buy those two games, even if they were $70 games, for $140 a year. So it really depends on if you are actually going to be trying out a lot of those games and if they're the type of games that you want to try. Because if all you play is Halo and Halo properties, it's actually cheaper just to buy the Halo games outright than it is to have Game Pass Ultimate. You'd need a Game Pass Core to play them online, but if all you did was a single player and all you played was Halo and you if all you care about is Call of Duty, you're actually better off not having Game Pass Ultimate because you're going to be throwing a lot of money away just to play Call of Duty Black Ops 6 for free. The Brightman says, I used Gamefly years ago and I liked it. This is like Gamefly on roids. Gamefly's still around. I still have Gamefly. They let you rent UHD movies. They actually have 4K UHD Blu-ray movies, and that's also what I use it for. Questbuster says, Game Pass has already paid back what I put into it, and then some, at least for me. And, like, yeah, that's the same for me. You know, especially when, like, the Persona remakes came out and the remasters, I already own those games, but I was able to play the remastered versions on Game Pass because I've already paid for the games. I've already bought the games before, and so this was a way for me to play the new versions. And then the nice thing about Game Pass, this is the other nice thing that nobody really talks about, is that if you do really like the game and either you want to buy it right then or it's about to get delisted and you want to still play it after it gets delisted, as a Game Pass Ultimate subscriber, you get a discount on buying the game. So when Persona 3 Portable, I put like 20 to 30 hours in on the Xbox version, either between PC or Xbox, because game saves move between the both, and it was getting delisted. And I think the game was $20 to buy on the store, but as a Game Pass Ultimate subscriber, I got like $5 off. So it was cheaper for me to buy it on Xbox because I was a Game Pass subscriber. And they don't talk about all that much, that you get discounts on purchasing games if you're a Game Pass Ultimate subscriber. E3VL says, I subbed to Gamefly for playing first-party Nintendo and Sony games near launch. That's also what I use it for. So it's like Nintendo, Sony, and Blu-ray movies. 4K Blu-ray movies are what I really use it for. Not really that much Xbox games. The Breakman says, Gamefly probably saved a lot of people from buying Redfall. That's probably true. It probably saved a lot of people from buying things that, like, for me, honestly, you want to know what it was, what Xbox saved me from buying, and I apologize for saying this because I know a lot of people love the franchise this is a spiritual successor for, but Ayadin Chronicles. I enjoyed the Suikoden games back in the day. Ayadin Chronicles, Kickstarter game, finally came out. Backers got their keys. I played it on Game Pass, and I got a decent way in on Game Pass, and I was like, you know what? I'm kind of bored. And so I moved on to something else. That's great for me, is that I can try games and having things on the cloud also. I don't use the cloud that often to stream games, but I do have a data cap. And so if a game is on the cloud and is like 100 gig download, which some of these AAA titles are, I'm not sure I'm going to like it. I don't want to waste 1/10 of my data cap per month downloading the game, but I can spend a couple gigs streaming it from the cloud to see if I like it, then the save file would transfer if I actually do download it. And Dark Tatsuya says, Game Pass sold me on Sea of Stars. I loved it so much, I had to get the Switch physical this last month. And yes, that's the other thing. You find gems that you really like and that you probably never would have played any other way. I enjoyed Little Kitty Big City. That was on Game Pass. And it's not a game I probably would have paid for without playing it first. I mean, I probably would pay for it now just to support the developers. But it was a cute little game. And, you know, it's not my favorite game of the year. I had some issues with it, but it was cute. And I was able to finish it pretty quickly. S. Jernamat says, the Yakuza games were introduced to me via Game Pass and also a little bit of Bobby's subliminal messaging. Yes, play Yakuza. They're all, except for the latest one, except for Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, all of them are on Game Pass. Yakuza 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and Yakuza Like a Dragon, and Like a Dragon Gaiden, and Like a Dragon Ishin, they're all there. Anyway, Game Pass, it's going up in price, $20 a month for Game Pass Ultimate. PC's going up. Game Pass Core is going up, which is all you need for multiplayer. All of them include free games. No, you can't get a version that doesn't have free games and just has online multiplayer. That's when you get a PC. E3VL says, Infinite Wealth was good except for the required island quest. I did not ever go back to the island after completing that quest. And I forget that the island exists. I did beat Infinite Wealth, and I haven't done the endgame content yet, though. I still have more to do. But that being said, I did buy the ultimate edition of Infinite Wealth, I believe, because they deserved it. And, if I'm going to spend 95 hours in a game, the devs deserve my money for that. The last story I want to talk about is how Nintendo made history this week, or at least Nintendo history was made. Let me put it that way. Nintendo history was made this week. I don't know if this is, industry-wide or just Nintendo, but Video Games Chronicle reports that Nintendo Switch has now officially had the longest lifespan of any Nintendo home console predecessor. Since its worldwide launch on March 3rd, 2017, 2,687 days have passed without the arrival of a successor console, meaning Switch's lifespan has officially beaten Nintendo's previous longest-lasting console, the Famicom, which lasted 2,686 days. Assuming the successor to the Nintendo Switch does not launch before March 1st, 2025, the Switch could go more than 2,920 days without the launch of newer hardware. I got the numbers here. So what Video Games Chronicle did is they used each home console's first launch date globally and not included the end date in the calculations. Essentially, it's like the start date of one console to the start date of the next console. So not until they stop supporting it, because they do support two consoles at once at a time. This is just from when one comes out to when the next one comes out. So S. Jeremiah says, doesn't feel like it. The Nintendo 64 lifespans felt really long to me as a kid. That's because time passes slower the younger you are. That's why. I don't know why, but time passes slower the younger you are. Because it felt like the days went on forever when we were in school, and now it's like, oh, crap, it's, we're already in July of 2024, and it feels like January. Anyway. So the Color TV game, which was Nintendo's first console, came out on June 1st, 1977, and the Famicom came out on July 15th, 1983. So that was 2,235 days. The Famicom, which we beat, came out on July 15th, 1983, and the Super Famicom came out on November 21st, 1990. So that's about 7 years, 7.5 years, so 2,686 days. The Super Famicom, which launched in November 1990, next came out was the Nintendo 64 on June 23rd, 1996. So that was only 6 years for 2,041 days. And here's the thing. S. Jerry Matt's like, oh, the Nintendo 64 lasted for a long time. It really didn't. So the Nintendo 64, which came out on June 23rd, 1996, was superseded by the Nintendo GameCube on September 14th, 2001. So only about 5 years. 1,909 days. That's how long the Nintendo 64 was the best console Nintendo had on the market. The Nintendo GameCube, which came out on September 14th, and then was superseded by the Wii on November 19th, 2006. So that was also about 5 years. It was few days less than the N64 to the GameCube. It was only 1,892 days. The Wii was supplanted by the Wii U on November 18th, 2012. So that was about 6 years, 2,191 days. And then the Wii U, which no E3VL was not an add-on. It was a separate console, and people are starting to realize that it was actually a pretty good one. It just, got screwed by third party and by Nintendo themselves in some ways. The Wii U, which came out on November 18th, 2012, was supplanted by the Nintendo Switch on March 3rd, 2017. So that was only 1,566 days. So it was less than, it was about 4.5 years is how long that one was. Then the Nintendo Switch was March 3rd, 2017, and it reached its 2,687th day, which meant that it was one day longer than the Famicom, on July 11th, 2024. So July 11th, the Switch became the longest running top console from Nintendo. So while they all feel like they went on forever, the Switch actually has gone on forever. It really has. Because you got to realize, all the other console manufacturers reached, Xbox and PlayStation released their new generation in 2020, and Nintendo didn't. So the Switch came out kind of alongside, you know, around the same time as during the Xbox One, PlayStation 4 generation. And then they just didn't put anything out for this new generation. Breakman asked, no stats on the Game & Watches. This Video Games Chronicle did not look at the handhelds. Let's see here. They didn't list them out specifically, but Nintendo's longest lasting handheld Switch is still far behind the original Game Boy, which amassed a massive 4,352 days before the launch of its full successor, the Game Boy Advance. So they're counting the Game Boy SP, they're accounting for, you know, the Game Boy Color, that's all Game Boy. And it was only until the Game Boy Advance. However, the Nintendo DS, the company's best-selling hardware ever, lasted 2,288 days until the Nintendo 3DS. So the Game Boy still reigns supreme and probably will always reign supreme. In the financial results published this last month, Nintendo confirmed that it has sold 141.32 million Switch consoles. If it hits its sales forecast for the current business year, which is 13.5 million consoles, Switch will be close to be beating the Nintendo DS, which had 154 million units sold, and the PlayStation 2 at around 160 million units sold as the best-selling console in history. So that is something to know. If you're ever at trivia, if you're ever doing like a trivia thing, because I do like bar trivia, and they ever ask what is the best-selling console, gaming console in history, the answer is the PlayStation 2. That is the answer. People will always say, oh, it was the Nintendo, you know, especially people that don't follow video games. Oh, it's the Nintendo. Oh, it's the Xbox. No, it's the PlayStation 2 is the best-selling console in history. Probably because they broke a lot. I know I had to buy like 4 PlayStation 2s because things broke. But anyway, the Switch might get there. You never know. Because if they've got 141 million Switch consoles sold and they're going to hit 13.5 million, then they're going to get close to that PlayStation 2 number. Congratulations to the Switch. It's going to get some more because they're going to have a Switch successor, and it will probably come out in March of next year, in March of 2025. E3VL says PS2 is the best DVD player. That's why it sold so much in the beginning, and every PS2 spawned a copy of The Matrix. It was amazing. On DVD. Everybody had it. It didn't come with it. It wasn't packed in, but you got a PlayStation 2 and The Matrix DVD fell in your cart at the same time. It was magical. But then I believe like in the later lifespan, it was because sometimes it's just cheaper to buy a new PlayStation 2 than it is to get the laser repaired in your PlayStation 2. And so people probably just did that. Questbuster says about the Game Boy, the add-ons were wild. The magnifying screens, the speaker hookups, plastic grips, all of which combined made it impossible to put back in your pocket. And also, Breakman also mentions there was a printer on the Game Boy. Yes, there was a camera and a printer, all that stuff. I think actually the Game Boy Advance had the printer. I think that was the one that had the game, but it was still the Game Boy line. Anyway, we are going to take a quick music break. And then we're going to take your calls. And what I'm going to actually say right now is that, unfortunately, Rob is not feeling well. Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio, not feeling well at all. There is no Orange Lounge Radio tonight. So if you ever really wanted to call in and talk about something here on the show, this is the time. So what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to go into the Green Room voice chat channel over at fognetwork.com/discord. It's a Discord server. Hop into the Green Room voice chat channel. If I see somebody in there during this music break, I'll pull them in and we'll have a chat and talk about anything going on in the gaming industry. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show and the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. I'm Jennifer Hale, sometimes known as Commander Shepard, sometimes known as Vasta Lashon, sometimes known as
Princess Marbox.
And you're participating with the Bobby Black Wolf Show.
That's right. I hosted Mass Effect 2 at SGDQ, so I was favorite host on the Citadel for like an hour and a half. And there was even a skip named after me. It was great, because there's a Turian named Bobby, and you have to go out of bounds to go skip to it. Anyway, if you want to leave a bumper, you do not have to be Jennifer Hale, because Jennifer Hale's already done a bumper and doesn't need to do another one for me. Just contact me on the Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord. And I just need like either a voice file, audio file of just your voice. I will choose what DMCA violation to risk behind it, or a video file of you, and I will still put a DMCA violation behind it, but it's my choice what it is. And you can just contact me on Discord, and you can and maybe we'll get some new stuff here on the show as we enter our 19th year. That's right. Next week is going to be our 19-year celebration of doing the show, and episode 900. So lots of nines. Lots of nines next week. Questmaster says, Jennifer Hale is also Jean Grey in X-Men 97. Jennifer Hale's in everything. Like, she's got such a prolific resume. She was in Star Wars The Old Republic. I think she was the female Jedi Knight, I want to say, was her. Or female medic. She was a female medic in that. She's got a lot of stuff. And as Sherry Matt says, yeah, a few Bobby Bumper people are on X-Men 97. Yeah, probably, like, is Max Middleman in it and Robbie Damon? And then, yeah, they're probably in it. And Gambit, H.A. LoCascio, that's an old bumper. I haven't played that one in so long, that bumper. Why have I not played that one? H.A. LoCascio, how did I get H.A. LoCascio on the show? This was back when I was allowed at E3. And Telltale Games was, like, loved me. And this was when Telltale Games was good. And A.J. LoCascio was Marty McFly in Back to the Future, and they actually allowed him to do a bumper for me in the Marty McFly voice. Not every voice actor wants to do work in the voice of a character, because there's legal issues with that, which is why, like, when I had Max Middleman and Robbie Damon do bumpers, which you've heard probably a million times if you listen to the show for any length of time, they actually do the bumper sets themselves, because they legally, there's legal reasons they can't be that person for something like this. But Marty, A.J. LoCascio got permission to be Marty McFly in the bumper. And I'm actually going to even do something that I don't normally do. I'm going to play that bumper, because I haven't played it in a while and I just completely forgot about it. Let's see here. I got to figure out like how far back in this that I got to go to get to it. There it is. So this is A.J. LoCascio as Marty McFly, back when Telltale Games did Back to the Future. So enjoy this bumper right here.
This is the voice of Marty McFly. When I am not traveling back in time with Telltale Games, I'm listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show.
Yeah. That's A.J. LoCascio. That's not Michael J. Fox doing a bumper for my show, but you couldn't, if I didn't tell you that, you probably wouldn't have known that. So yeah. Bumpers are fun. I've had some really good ones over the last 19 years. Yeah, and Questbuster says, yeah, that is still so good. Yes, that he was amazing. So I am so glad to see that he's gotten some big work, especially being in X-Men 97, getting some of that Marvel money. Good on him. So, like I said, there is no Orange Lounge Radio tonight. So if you want to call in and talk about anything, there is the Green Room voice chat channel. If you hop in there, I will be able to see and pull you in. I did want to bring up a comment that came in during the music break about something that'll make pod culture drink again. And E3VL said something that was very interesting. Said, I tried VR for the first time last weekend via Sandbox VR at the mall. Good, but not mind-blowing experience. And I am not surprised. And, it really depends on what your expectations are going in. And I can imagine somebody who's listened to me gush about VR for years and years and years and years, and they probably finally get tried for themselves. And they're like, why does Bobby talk this much about this? Like, and I can understand that, especially when you're using probably equipment at the mall, which has probably been, you know, put through the ringer. And frankly, there still aren't that many experiences that really make the technology all that mind-blowing to someone who's probably a little bit more cynical, which there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And I don't want you to take that as kind of any kind of quote-unquote attack or anything. But I get it. It was mind-blowing to me when I first tried it because I didn't know what to expect. But I also tried it back when nobody was talking about it, when it was just like a fringe Kickstarter, and I had the dev kit one, and it was mind-blowing because it was not something that we had really seen before working in that manner. VR had been around. Dactyl Nightmare was around in the 90s. There were things you could do with it in the 90s. But it was such an innovation at the time, and we didn't see... We hadn't seen anything like that. Now, a lot of those design concepts that were made for VR, instead of being in VR, are now being put in the stuff that you see on your monitor. Stuff like, that's why you can have some things that don't have a HUD, and they instead use the environment to show you, you know, like your health or whatever. That all came out of VR design, because you don't really want to have a HUD in every game. It doesn't make sense in every game for you to be wearing an Iron Man helmet in VR. So I can understand that, like, it's basically, if you sit really close to a monitor, VR is kind of the same. And I can understand if that's what it is. And that really depends on what sandbox VR put you in. I don't know what that particular company puts people in. I do know there are companies now that have VR experiences where they'll put people in a Quest or a Quest 2 and let them play a game for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever. And E3 Veil says Sandbox VR was an adventure room full 360 movement. So that's it. That's different than like a lot of the games as well. So what it sounds like that you're doing there is there was a place called The Void, which was like this, and they were really poised in like 2019 and 2020 to take everything by storm. And then in 2020, everybody stopped going places and they went under. But it sounds like it's more like you can walk around the room and you've got the virtual environment instead of seeing the actual environment. And that can be a neat experience too, but if it wasn't but it may not be mind-blowing based on how they built it. You know, it really depends on how they did that. And that experience is different from a VR experience that you would have at home with a PlayStation VR or with a Quest 3 or something like that. Questbuster said, the one VR experience I absolutely love with The Void and its VR adventure rooms. Also pours one out for The Void, which did not survive the pandemic unscathed. Yeah, he typed that before I said all that, and then I looked in. I'm like, oh, yeah, somebody else remembers The Void. They actually opened up one here in Atlanta in January of 2020. They actually opened up a Void here, and then obviously it's gone. Questbuster says, the Star Wars experience was great, and they also had something like a 1900-styled horror adventure, which was really neat. They also, I believe, had a Ghostbusters one. I believe they had a Ghostbusters tie-in experience that they were doing. Either they had already done it or they were working on it when 2020 happened. But I seem to recall there was a Ghostbusters tie-in at some point. E3VL says it was basically a zombie shooter, like a light gun game, but more freedom of movement in a virtual world. Okay, so I mean, it was probably cool, but like I can understand why maybe that wasn't the most mind-blowing experience to somebody who's heard me sit here and talk about it for years and years and years. Breakman says, I like the faux VR Battletech game they had at Dave & Buster's. I believe that was Dactyl Nightmare. Was kind of like, well, Dactyl Nightmare was with dinosaurs, but I believe that same system had something that was like Battletech. And we're not talking the battle pods, but I believe there was something that used their 90s VR headset that was Battletech related. The Breakman says, a Ghostbusters VR game, why am I only hearing of this now? Well, A, I believe there actually is a Ghostbusters VR game, but what we were talking about, what Questbuster and I were talking about, was this place called The Void, which was an actual physical location. It was kind of like a big warehouse. And they made experiences where you could literally walk around. You basically wore the computer as a backpack. And so you had a wireless, untethered VR headset, and you were walking around areas, and it was tracking you in those areas. And so you could walk up to something and in your VR headset, you would see like it's a wall with a computer and it's a touchscreen computer and you're actually walking up to a physical wall. So you reach out and you actually can touch the wall. And then also like in when you're in the VR, you'll see like, you know, something happen and like a bunch of smoke comes out and they actually would put smoke on you. So you would feel the smoke and smell the smoke. So yeah, the Void was an actual like event. Space, and it was a franchise of virtual reality entertainment attractions. Yeah, so it unfortunately did not, because they were just about to get out in the pandemic, and that's why it stopped. So yeah, they had so they did have a Ghostbusters. So they had The Curse of the Serpent's Eye in 2015, Ghostbusters Dimension in July of 2016, Star Wars Secrets of the Empire in 2017, Nick Demas Demon of in Vanishment in 2018, Ralph Breaks VR, which was a Wreck-It Ralph tie-in in 2018, Avengers Damage Control, Marvel tie-in in 2019, Jumanji Reverse the Curse in 2019, and I believe they had some more that they were planning in 2020. And unfortunately, that ended it. Questbuster says, I heard of the Ghostbusters one, but it was not at the Void I went to in Las Vegas. Where was it? It was the first one outside of the state of Utah, and it was available to other locations. But the Wikipedia article that I'm looking at did not have a list of where those were. It was at Toronto. The Ghostbusters Void one was in Toronto. And the Breakman says, well, my life is officially incomplete. Now, if you had a Meta Quest, Breakman, you could have Ghostbusters Rise of the Ghost Lord, because that came out last year. Ghostbusters Rise of the Ghost Lord is a Meta Quest game that you could play, which I guess puts you in a Ghostbusters. You are a Ghostbuster, and you're busting ghosts in VR. So if you really, really wanted some Ghostbusters VR, you can get a Meta Quest and suit up and gear up. I'm playing the trailer for those on the podcast. And team up. I'm reading the words as they're on the screen. And you can go do some busting. So I think I just sold a Meta Quest to Breakman on that. And ZenMonkey11 says, I've played this. It's fun times. And PodCulture asks, all Quest or just Quest 3? This just says Meta. So this just says Meta Quest. It doesn't, or at least the trailer hasn't yet gotten to the which versions it's on. Maybe ZenMonkey11 can help on that. Quest 2. So yes, it's on the Quest. You get a Quest 2. He says it runs fine on Quest 2. So if you have a Quest 2, you can get that right now. And, Breakman says, going to have to save up to get one. Well, I finally sold VR to someone. So, congratulations to me. Questbuster says, I think the Vader Immortal series is on the Quest 2. I only know this because I was interested in the game and wanted to see what it was about. Yes. I believe Vader Immortal, I think it actually came out on PlayStation, but it never did come out for PC VR. I do remember I bought the Vader Immortal series on Quest and used it was on the Rift. So they actually released a Vader Immortal for the Oculus Rift, the PC version. And there is actually a program that allows you to use the Rift software on non-Rift hardware. And so that's what I played Vader Immortal on. So, Vader Immortal is a Quest, and I believe it came out on PlayStation 4 for PlayStation VR. And it's interesting. It's fun. It's a neat little compact little story. And I did enjoy all three parts of it. I liked the first part more than this other two parts because the first part was more targeted. Anyway, Breakman says, Bobby is the greatest VR salesperson in history. Thank you. I wish I got a cut. I wish I got a cut. Where's my money? Where's my money, Meta? I still need to get a Meta Quest 3 at some point. Now that you don't need Facebook to use it, I'm willing to get it. Anyway, so like I said, there is no Orange Lounge Radio tonight. Unfortunately, Rob is out sick and is unable to be there, and it's really in his best interest to just take things easy. So Orange Lounge Radio should be back next week. Stay tuned. We will be rating someone at the end of the show for those of you here live on Twitch. But that's it for me for this week. I will be at the Southern Fried Gaming Expo next week from July 19th through the 21st here at the Cobb Galleria at Renaissance Waverly Hotel here in the Atlanta area. So there is still going to be a show next Sunday night, which, yes, is apparently episode 900. Whatever. But anyway, Friday night at 8:30 p.m., I'm going to be on a panel with some other fine people I've met through the Games Done Quick speedrunning scene. Ash Said Hi, a Twitch partner, is going to be running a panel on Unleashing Your Inner Retro Streamer with myself and Eternal Enigma and Cartridge Blowers, both hosts at GDQ and speedrunners themselves. I am not a speedrunner. But we're going to be talking about that on July 19th, which is the Saturday or the Friday night. And then Saturday night at 7 p.m. is going to be An Eternal Enigma and I talking about speedrunning while An Eternal Enigma runs Silent Hill 1 for the PlayStation 1. It's going to be about an hour of a speedrun. Going to demolish the game. It takes normally like 8 hours to complete normally. He's going to do it in an hour. And we're going to be talking about speedrunning. So if you're going to be at the Southern Fried Gaming Expo playing some pinball or some arcade, would love to see you at those panels. And then we will be back here on Sunday night. I will have video so you can see all the stuff going on. I'm also, if you go join our Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord, you'll see some of those pictures. You'll also probably see some stuff on my Blue Sky at bobbyblackwolf.com. So that, and maybe on the bad site, I don't know. Like, unfortunately, a lot of people are still there. So, like, I still do some self-promotion there. But anyway, you'll be able to find some of that stuff there. So if you like this show, tell a friend. If you hate this show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters who go above and beyond. And even though Twitch raised their prices, thank you so much for being here. You being here and is really all that we ask for. But those that you subscribe or cheer, subscription prices went up this week. So thank you so much for that, for resubscribing. Dark to see a resubscribe for 42 months. Wants me to make a reference to Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, but you didn't ask a question. Plus a 27-month streak. A streak of weird Twitch math. Thank you so much. SSJ100Matt resubscribed. Thank you so much. TigerClaw resubscribed. Thank you so much for that. PodCulture gifted a sub to E3VL. So congratulations, E3VL, on your subscription. Sean322 resubscribed and cheered 100 bits saying, "Hoop!" Because I do the GDQ way. So thank you so much for that. That we did have a hype train earlier tonight, and that was awesome. Thank you so much for that. So, I'm going to go ahead and head on out of here. This is the button that I'm going to hit right here. I'm going to move that there so it doesn't play. And then we're going to do that. All right, there we go. All right. I will see you next week either at the Southern Fried Gaming Expo or here on Sunday night for episode 900 and my 19-year anniversary. It's going to be a normal show, I promise. See you then. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the Vogue Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom, although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Black Wolf Studios.